Today I want to speak from Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. And I want to read from verse 12 to 16. Acts chapter 5, verse 12 to 16. And I've entitled my message, A Healthy Church. A Healthy Church. See, church is not a building. Church is who we are. You and me, we are church. And God wants us to become a healthy church and be a healthy church. Amen. Impacting the world, our communities and our societies. Acts chapter 5, verses 12 to 16. Says in here, the apostles performed many signs and wonders among the people, and all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. No one else dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to the numbers. As a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. Such was the power, such was the anointing. Crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by impure spirits. And all of them were healed. Amen. All of them were healed. But this was a process. It was an instant. You see, for church to get to where they were, this was a process. And we read about accounts in the Bible, time after time, you know. And we read about how the bleeding woman, she'd been bleeding for many years, 12 years. It was a process. For 12 years, she'd been crying out for help. And many other accounts in the Bible, we see them being tormented by impure spirits. And we read about them in Acts and we think it was an instant process. But it took time. It took time. So hold on tight because miracle is on its way.
Amen.
Amen. Hold on tight because healing is on its way. Hold on tight because provision is on its way. It's on its way. Trust the process. It's a process. It's not going to happen overnight, but it is a process. But know this, the Lord is in control. Lord is in control. You see, I love the fact that God uses people like you and me to bring the supernatural into the natural, to perform the supernatural. He uses you and me, church. You see, we need to remember, yes, it is God who brings the supernatural. It is God who performs the supernatural, but He uses you and me to do it. Isn't that amazing? God uses you and me. God uses you, Louise. That's amazing. God uses you, Joan. Amen. See, He uses us, His people, as a vessel to fulfill His promises and His plans. So today I want to share with us 7 signs of a healthy church we find in the book of Acts. 7 signs of a healthy church. And I want to share with us also how we can apply them in our lives as well. First one is this. Purity. Purity. The church did not compromise, neither did it settle for anything less than what God had for them. Purity, church. See, Paul was very big on protecting the gospel. Paul was very big on this element of purity. We need to stay pure. The gospel needs to stay pure. We need to preach the pure message of the gospel because it's only the preaching of the pure message of the gospel that brings about purity in each and every one of our lives. See, purity is not a popular topic. It's not a very popular topic. Yet, it is something that affects every part of our lives. How we think equals to how we live. See, that real process of cleansing needs to take place. And it's not going to take place overnight. It's another process. See, we read in Romans, the renewing of the mind. Renewing of the mind does not happen overnight. As much as I'd like for it to happen overnight, it does not happen overnight. Renewing is a lifelong journey. See, when we come to Jesus Christ, we are made new. Yes, but that renewing process takes time. Because the Word of God keeps washing us all the time. And that washing process takes years, months, and days. See, so what is purity? To put it in the simplest manner, purity is freedom from contamination. Freedom from contamination. Purity is being faultless and uncompromised. Uncompromised. See, the church did not compromise. The early church did not compromise to the world. And what can we learn from that? The church today needs to stand on that same ground and say, I am not compromising. I am not compromising. You see, we have all these new ideologies. We have all these new interpretations that's been thrown at us, saying it's okay for you to do this, it's okay for you to do that. But the main thing that boils down is this: what does the Bible say?
Amen.
What does the Bible say? Does the Bible really say you can do this and you can still live like that? Does the Bible say that you can say whatever you want and you can do however you live in private life and live differently in the public life? No, it does not say that. The Bible is very clear on this element of purity. And purity is a very challenging topic. But purity is something that God wants us to live by.
Amen.
Godliness is contentment. Great gain, amen. The biggest challenge for the church has always been purity. The biggest challenge for the people of God has always been purity. You see, we preach purity, yet we are being contaminated daily to the things that isn't of God. Purity. So second one is power. First one is purity. Okay, the church did not compromise. The early church did not compromise, and we should be the same. Let's not compromise. Secondly, power. The church modeled and demonstrated the power of the gospel to the community.
Yeah.
The church modeled and demonstrated the power of the gospel to the community. Real power is not how loud or noisy we are.
No.
Real power is what's happening in us and through us.
Yeah.
That is real power. What is God doing in your life today? Me being loud does not mean God is doing a great thing in me. But how I'm living my life shows what God has done in my life.
Amen.
And the result is I will live a loud life because of what God's done in my life. See, we don't force loudness, no. Loudness is the result of what God has done in our lives. That's why we live loud, that's why we live big. See, because when you understand what the Lord has delivered you from, automatically you begin to see things differently. You begin to live big because you're like, wow, if this is what God can do, imagine what God can do in your life too. That's why let me tell you what Jesus can do in you and for you. Amen. Real power. Real power. You see, Paul says, don't be like a clanging cymbal. Cymbals, they make big noises, you see, but don't be like them. If you have no love, if you have no power. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 7 to 13, you don't have to turn there, but if you're taking notes, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 7 to 13, it says, now if the ministry that brought death, which was engraved in letters on stone, came with glory so that the Israelites could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of his glory, transitory though it was, will not the ministry of spirit be more glorious? If the ministry that brought condemnation was glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? For what was glorious has no glory in comparison with the surpassing glory. And if what was transitory came with glory, how much greater is the glory of that which lasts? Therefore, since we have hope, we are very bold. We are not like Moses, who put a veil over his face to prevent the Israelites from seeing the end of what was passing away. Very challenging verse right there. We are not like Moses, who put a veil over his face. See, when Moses came down from Mount Mount Sinai, see, his face was glorious because he's just been in the presence of the Most High God. And you see, people of Israel, they couldn't see his face because he was shining. So he had to cover his face. Such was the glory. But after a while, what happened? That glory started fading away. But Moses did not take the veil off because he did not want people of Israel to see that his glory was fading away, because he was so busy doing other works that he forgot his main important responsibility was to spend time in the Lord's presence. See, Moses put a veil over his face so that no one would realize the glory was fading away. And sadly, that's what's happening around us with all this fake glory. You see, we're producing all these fake glories. We've got our flashlights and shebangs and babangs, and everything's based on performance rather than power. See, the power and effectiveness in Moses' life was fading away. And we also see in verse 12, many signs and wonders were being performed by the apostles among the people. You see, and this was not the demonstration of the talents, no. They weren't demonstrating the talents. They weren't demonstrating what they knew already. No, they were demonstrating the power of God. They were demonstrating the power of God. And sometimes perhaps we too can be dependent upon our giftings more than the power of God. Even for me, when I'm preparing sermons, most of the time it could be just me preparing sermons because I've developed a certain way of preparing sermons. I've developed a certain way of presenting the message of the gospel and not fully relying upon the power of God and not fully relying upon what God wants me to share. Same for when I'm playing in worship, during worship, solely depending upon my talent rather than really worshipping God and really giving my all to God. See, this is very fine line between relying upon what God has given you and relying upon what God has for you fresh for there and then. You see, sometimes we might be running with what God has given us yesterday or the day before yesterday and keep running with that and forget to receive for today. You see, and that can be the danger for many of us. Running with the old revelation and not seeking the fresh new revelation. So much so that sometimes even my messages can be very repetitive. And the reasons for that is because I'm not spending time in the presence of God. I'm not seeking fresh revelations. I'm not seeking fresh manna. You see, and especially for me more than ever now, so I try to spend more time in His presence. I try to spend more time seeking the truth. I try to spend more time doing my study now more than ever, because now I'm realizing that the people of God, they come to church for a reason, to receive the Word of God. And if as a presenter and as a as the one who has been given the responsibility to proclaim the message, if I'm bringing out old manna, it's my responsibility, and what I've done is I've not been able to fulfill my responsibility to my full potential. And that's why the challenge for me, I suppose, is to stay prepared. And not only that, but to seek fresh manna from God every time. And in this scenario, the same issue was for Moses. You see, people of Israel were coming to Moses seeking advice all the time. And Moses, because he was giving out to them all the time, the glory was fading away. The anointing was fading away. The revelation was fading away. He started relying upon the revelations from yesterday rather than seeking God for revelation for today. And my question to you today is this. Are you seeking revelation from God today, or are you running this race with the old manna which was a month ago or from yesterday? When was the last time you received fresh manna from heaven? When was the last time you received fresh revelation from God? When was the last time I received fresh revelation from God? It's a challenging question for each and every one of us. But we only receive fresh power if we go to the power source. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Third one is this. Opposition. Okay? So the first one was purity. Second one was power. We need power, church. Amen. Third one is opposition. The church, the early church, faced many oppositions because rather than giving in to the culture of the time, it was challenging the culture and it was transforming the culture. Amen. You see, the reason early church faced many oppositions was because it was challenging the culture of the time. In verse 13 it says, no one else dared join them. No one else dared join them because they knew if they joined them, the whole world is going to be against them. No one dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. And this is element of fear. And you see, sadly, this takes place today. Many, when they hear the message of the gospel, they receive it with gladness. But when they see the follow-up, when they see, what the Word of God says, the Word of God is challenging, the Word of God is tough. See, when we see that in the Gospel of John, Jesus feeding many people, thousands and hundreds, and giving them the gospel. But as soon as He gives them this hard truth, this hard message, everybody walks away. And he looks at his disciples, are you going to leave me too? See, the message of the gospel is challenging. The message of the gospel is tough. But the message of the gospel is liberating.
Amen.
The message of the gospel is joyful, peace. It gives us the strength. It's grace. We also see an example of it in verse 17 and 18. You see, although the church was regarded with respect by the people, it faced many oppositions from the leaders of the society. And why it faced many oppositions from the leaders of the society is mentioned in verse 17 and 18 in that same chapter. In verse 17 and 18 it says, then the high priest and his associates who were members of the party of the Sadducees were filled with jealousy. Because they were jealous. They arrested the apostles and put them in public jail. They were arrested and they were put in public jail. See, and why was that? Was because church was doing a better job at looking after and providing for the community than some of these high established establishments. The church was doing a better job transforming people in the community. The church were doing a better job reaching out to the people in that community and helping the poor and the needy in that community. The early church, they were very, very active in proclaiming the gospel and reaching out to the broken and needy and hurting in the society. Yet, all these established organizations, they weren't doing that. And when they saw all these mass followers joining this mass group of Christian brothers and sisters, jealousy arose. And then they started persecuting all these apostles. And then they put them in jail, prison. Opposition. Number four is this, proclamation. Proclamation. So the first one is purity. Second one is power. Third one is opposition. Fourth one is proclamation. The church communicated the strong, life-transforming truth. See, the church did not sway away from preaching the truth. The church did not water away the gospel. The church did not water down the gospel. A healthy, focused church is more focused on giving the accurate interpretation of the text rather than pleasing the listeners of the text. See, healthy church is more interested in giving the accurate interpretation of the text rather than pleasing the listeners of the text. Paul says in Galatians chapter 1 verses 10 to 12, Galatians chapter 1 verses 10 to 12, am I now seeking the approval of men or of God? That's the question each and every one of us perhaps needs to ask ourselves. In what we're doing, are we seeking the approval of men, or are we seeking the approval of God? Am I striving to please men? If I were trying to please men, I would not be a servant of God. Paul is straightforward. I love that about Paul. He's like, listen, if I was to do that, I'd be famous. People would be praising me. But because I'm not doing that, nobody likes me, Paul's saying. And because nobody likes me, that's fine, because I'm a servant of Christ.
Amen.
Paul says it. For I certify to you, brothers, that the gospel I preached was not devised by men. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Listen to this. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ, which brings us back to that question I said earlier on. When was the last time you received any revelation from the Word of God? When was the last time you were in His presence, in the presence of Almighty God, saying, God, give me fresh manna. Give me fresh revelation. As much as I love for you to come and listen to me speak and preach, I'd love for you to actually spend time in God's presence and say, oh, Dan, you're not going to believe this. You know, this morning I felt God say this to me. Last night I felt God say that to me. Because God speaks. And the reason why most of the time we don't hear Him speak to us is because we don't give Him time. And not only that, because we rush Him. We're like, all right, God, you've got 5 minutes. See, we need to give Him time. We need to give Him time. Amen. We need to give Him time. See, the church continued to speak the truth. The true gospel is not the gospel of self-satisfaction. No. The true gospel is a gospel of self-denial and self-surrender. Self-denial and self-surrender. That's why Paul says, therefore, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Proclamation. You see, Paul, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Everywhere I go, I will proclaim the truth. Everywhere I go, I will stand for the truth. That's what Paul was doing. Even Jesus. See, everywhere he went, villages to town, he was giving the truth. The disciples, why would someone want to kill you? See, the apostles and disciples, they were martyred, they were killed, they were persecuted. If you were following the trend, if you were just nodding your head and following what people were saying, nobody would want to do anything to you. But if you see something and you say, listen, that's not right, that's not true, then everybody is against you, because now you're standing for the truth. And you see, I believe the time is coming when things are going to be more and more challenging. You look around the world and the culture is changing fast. Fast. I mean, phones. You look at your phones. iPhone 1 only a few years ago. Now we've got iPhone 13 and now they're releasing iPhone 14. Cars. You see, we've got electronic cars and everything now. And soon they're thinking about getting rid of petrol and diesel, all these sort of things. You see, everything's changing and it's changing fast. And not only that, we're only talking about the electronical side of things. Now talk about culture. Even morals are changing. See, morals are changing. What was wrong at one time is now considered acceptable. And the reason it's changing is because we're allowing more and more room for compromise.
Yeah.
You see, the church needs to be the voice of the world. Of the world and to the world as well.
Yeah.
See, because there are many in this community, there are many in this society who are afraid to speak out.
Yeah.
But the church needs to be the voice for them. And I pray to God, God, give us boldness.
Amen.
Give us courage.
Amen.
Because you know, you see something and you know it's not right. But sometimes you hold back because there isn't this. You think to yourself, oh, if I say this, what is that person going to think of me? What is this person going to think of me? And we just need wisdom and boldness and courage from God.
Amen.
Because church, time is coming where things are going to be tough. But when that toughness comes, we need to be ready. We need to be ready. Because I don't think it's always going to be happy, clappy. No, there is going to be a time where it's going to be real, real tough. And when that toughness comes, we need to be toughened up, ready to give them the truth.
Amen.
And when we give them the truth, they are not going to like it. Because, yeah, nobody likes the truth. Nobody likes discipline. Nobody likes correction. And especially... Exactly, especially when you're straight out to them, saying to them, listen, what you're doing is not right. But church, we have to be ready. Amen. we have to be ready. And I believe God will. I believe God is preparing us, and God will equip us. Amen. With everything that we need when the time comes, because when we look in the Bible, God has always equipped His church, and God will equip His church. God is preparing His church, but we have to be ready. We have to be ready. Amen. Number five, perseverance. Perseverance. The church continued to meet and worship together regardless of whatever the situation. The early church continued to meet and worship together. You see, there was lots of threats after threats saying, listen, don't you dare meet again. From Caesar, from everybody, from all the Roman empires and everybody. But these believers, you see, they continued to meet in secret. Early church. See, in the West, we have this freedom to meet together and to worship. But there are many churches in the East, like underground churches, even in China and places like that, where they are not allowed to meet and worship. And let's not take this freedom we have lightly. See, us coming together and meeting together, this is a beautiful privilege we have. And a wonderful, wonderful privilege that way we can come together as one body, one family, worship together, break bread together, encourage one another. We have this wonderful privilege, but not a lot of countries have this. See, and we have to continue to lift them up in our prayers. And you can find a leaflet in there actually called Open Doors. And in there you can find more about what's been happening globally with the local church and some underground churches as well, some international churches. You see, the early church, they persevered in the vision. God gave them a vision. Jesus Christ gave them a vision. Listen. You are to go and you are to make disciples of all nations. And they persevered in that vision. Jesus gave them the message. Jesus taught them how to preach and they continued in that message. They persevered in the vision. They persevered in the message. They persevered in the waiting. They persevered even when they saw nothing happening. They persevered. See, the final ending of Luke, we see that they continued to meet together. They continued to worship together. And boom, when we get to Acts, we see the outpouring of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
But meanwhile, they continue to meet together. Amen. They continue to meet together. And the result of that can be seen in verse 14 and 15. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord. See, it did not happen over time. They persevered, and the result was more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. As a result, people brought sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. You see, perseverance, this is what perseverance does, church. Because you don't see anything happening does not mean it's not happening. It is happening. It is happening. I mean, healing is happening in your life. It's just you don't see it. Healing is happening in your life. It's just I don't see it. Provision is happening in our life. It's just we don't see it. And because we don't see it, we walk away from it and we miss out on God's great, mighty provision for us.
Yeah.
See, God is doing things in our lives. Philippians 1:6. Hold on to that. He who began a good work in us will bring it to completion. Yes, it was a word to the church in Philippi, but it's also to us. He who began a good work in us will bring it to completion. I believe God is going to use each and every one of us to bring mighty harvest.
Amen.
I believe that. You might be looking at yourself, you might be saying, oh, I won't be able to share the gospel, I won't be able to do this, I won't be able to do that. But I believe God is raising you up.
Amen.
And taking you on this next level of faith. Where all of a sudden you will be prophesying. Where all of a sudden you will be laying hands on the sick and they will be healed in the name of Jesus. Where you will be praying for their needs and they will see mighty provision of God. And it won't be you, it will be God who does that through you. Because it's not you and me, church, it's God. And if God has called us, He will equip us, He will provide for us. And not only that, He will give us everything that we need to fulfill His plans and His purpose. But our responsibility is obedience. And the question is, how obedient are you to His voice?
Yeah.
How obedient am I to His voice?
Yeah.
Perseverance. The early church persevered. We love reading about thousands and hundreds of people being added to the church, but we don't see those missing years when they heard nothing. Those missing days where they were like, hold on a second, Jesus said this was going to happen, that was going to happen, but what now? See, what now matters? What now matters? We're so fixated on what's next that we miss out on what's now. What is God doing in your life now is very important. Ask yourself this question. What is God doing in my life today? With all that I'm experiencing, with all that I'm going through, what is God trying to teach me from all of these events and experiences? Everything has a purpose. Everything is there for a purpose. Nothing is of waste. Nothing is of accident. Everything is of God. Everything comes from God. And everything is done by God to teach us, to equip us, to mature us. Amen. So sixth is praise. Praise. The church, the early church maintained an attitude of gratitude and praised God for everything. Amen. When there was no one added to the church, they continued to praise God. I thank you, God, that you are going to add. I thank you, God, that it is you who is going to do amazing things in our lives. See, when the church was fully packed, God, we thank you. We worship you. When persecution hit the church hard and they were all scattered, they still continued to praise God. They maintained the attitude of gratitude, the attitude of praise. See, every miracle they were praising God. Every struggle they were praising God. Every downfall they were praising God. Every success they were praising God. In all seasons, whatever the outcome, they were praising God. They were praising God. And that's the key to success. That's the key to overcome every obstacle or any obstacles that comes our way. Praising God. Praising God. There are days when I'm in my house, I'm playing my guitar, I'm loving worship. But there are days where I'm like not seeing anything, I'm hurt, I'm broken. I pick up my guitar and I still worship. I still worship. I'm there with my guitar worshiping my heart out to God. Because worship isn't something I do only on a Sunday, no. I'm with my guitar, I'm like worshiping God. I'm giving all my heart. And an hour or even 5-10 minutes, it's nothing to 24 hours we have. Yeah. See, Daniel, when he was thrown in lion's den, he was hurt, he was confused, he was like, why me? Why are they doing this to me? I've not hurt anybody. I've not said wrong to anybody. But he was in lion's den, and when he found himself in lion's den, he was praying, he was praising. And God delivered him.
Amen.
God delivered him. Amen. See, David and Goliath. David, when he was in the fields, looking after, tending all the sheep and doing all he was doing, he was praising God. Hence, we've got these beautiful psalms. He's writing them psalms. He's praising God with his little harp. He's giving it all to God. And when he's facing Goliath, he's still praising God. I'm not going to let any Philistine talk wrongly about my God. No, I'm going to chop his head off. I'm going to kill him. I'm going to chop his head off. And that's what David does. And David overcomes Goliath. Lazarus, he'd been dead for 4 days. He'd been dead for 4 days. See, his sister's like, when they send the message to Jesus, if only you'd been here with us 4 days ago, our brother would have been alive. But Jesus says, I thank God he's been dead 4 years. He's been dead 4 days. I thank God he's been dead 4 days. Who says that? Jesus does. I thank God he's been dead 4 days. Because now, because of this, you will believe. Now, because of this, you will see the power of heaven. Now, because of this, you will see what God is able to do. And he raises Lazarus from the dead. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, fiery furnace. When they were in the fiery furnace, they were praising God. None of them were burnt. In the upper room, early church, they were praising God. In the prison, the early church, they were praising God. Our location might change, but our attitude should remain the same. praising God. That is our attitude. Seasons change, location change, circumstances change, but attitude should always remain the same. See, I pray to God every day, God, whatever happens, my attitude, my character, Lord, I put my character in your hand. Make me, mold me, shape me. Because if I was to make myself, if I was to shape myself, I'll end up a very mad mess. But if I allow God to shape me, if I allow God to mold me, I know He will mold me good. Amen. And when I look around the room, I can see God's a good molder. Amen. God's a good molder. Amen. He's been molding some great men and men of God and some great women of God. And He's preparing His children. Amen. For His service, and He's preparing His children for great harvest. Amen. Praise. Number 6 is praise. Lastly, 7. Presence. Very important. Presence. See, the early church prioritized the presence of God. The early church prioritized the presence of God. God above it all. And when we prioritize the presence of God above everything, signs, wonders, and miracles take place. Signs, wonders, and miracles follow. In verse 16, it says, crowds gathered from towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by impure spirits, and all of them were healed. All of them were healed because the presence of God was in that place.
Amen.
The presence of God was in that place. Not only that, but because the church had now become presence carriers. Presence carriers. The apostles had become presence carriers. Carrying the presence of Jesus. Carrying the anointing. See, each and every one of us, we are presence carriers too. We are presence carriers too. But we always need to remember that we have to charge ourselves daily. Daily. We have to charge ourselves daily. See, when I was poorly these last few days, even though I was not able to read, I wasn't in a state where I was able to read, to tell you the truth. I was struggling bad. But I tell you what I did. On my phone, I was playing worship tunes in the background. I tell you what, it was calming my soul. The worship music in the background. I was listening to the Bible. I was listening to sermons in the background. And it was calming me. It was refreshing me. It was recharging me. I fell asleep listening to it. I woke up, it was still playing. It was beautiful. It was beautiful, honestly. God was refreshing me, honestly, in my sickness. He was refreshing me. As I recovered, I felt fully awake and fresh. I really did. Thursday morning, I woke up, I was sweating like anything, and it was like my temperature had dropped, and all these symptoms and everything had gone. I felt like a new person. Not I felt like a new person. I knew I was a new person straight away. Amen. And it was just at that point, I just remembered, you know, that God can use anything and everything to refresh us. See, what the enemy intended for evil, God intended for good. The enemy will throw something at you and he'll be like, oh, I've got him now. And the God will be like, do you know what? You think you've got him. I'll tell you what I'll do with that. So he turns it into something good. And we see time after time in the Bible how God works the things out for his people. But ultimately it boils down to us how we see it and how we perceive it.
Yeah.
See, how we perceive it will shape how we live it. Our understanding of our surroundings and our understanding and our perception of what is happening in us will actually shape how we live. It really does. Because the real battle is not on the outside. The real battle is on the inside. And when you're not feeling well, the real battle is on the inside. And what people see on the outside is only 10% of what's been happening on the inside. The 90% battle is on the inside. And the signs of healthy church, you see, the church on the outside, each and every one of us will look fine. But the real question we need to ask ourselves is this. Firstly, the question of purity. Are we compromising? Or are we? Are we compromising and settling for the less? Or are we standing and not giving in and only giving in to God's best? Secondly, power. See, are we living in on the manner of yesterday, or are we living on the manner of today? Fresh manner. Are we living off revelations from yesterday, last year, years and years ago? Are we living off of fresh revelations? We have to seek fresh revelations, church. Amen? Each and every one of us. If we want to be fresh deliverers of the gospel, we have to receive fresh word every day. Thirdly, oppositions. The church faced many oppositions, and you and I, we will face many oppositions. But what we need to understand is the oppositions, they're actually ladders for us to growth. The more the oppositions, the more the growth. The more the oppositions, the more the growth. The oppositions actually strengthened the church rather than discouraged the church. Proclamation. You see, we have to continue to communicate the strong, life-transforming truth. Number five, perseverance. Let's continue to persevere. If you're praying for somebody, continue to pray for them. Don't give up. Continue to pray for them. Continue to reach out to them. Continue to ask them how they're doing. Continue to lift them up. And continue to bless them. Number six, praise. Have that attitude of gratitude. Have the attitude of praise. Don't stop praising, because the enemy wants you to stop praising. The enemy will mess you up so much, so he'll make you think, listen, everything is meaningless. Absolutely. He's a liar. And lastly, presence. Prioritize the presence of God above all. Prioritize the presence of God. Amen.